We are joined on the line by Maulana Ibrahim Abam. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to you, and assalamu alaikum to all the listeners.
How is Maulana doing this morning?
Alhamdulillah, Allah has been kind upon us more than what we deserve, but only the grace and the kindness of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Maulana, just a few more days left for the blessed month of Ramadan, depending on the moon sighting, between 4 or 5 days left for the blessed month of Ramadan. And last week on this program, we spoke a bit on the preparation for the month of Ramadan. We discussed some of the virtues of the blessed month. It's a time to nourish, you know, the soul, enjoy the ibadah that we do during the month of Ramadan. And also, we touched a bit on the Ramadan of the pious and how they had planned and had a schedule of how they would how they would spend each day and each night during the month of Ramadan. These were some of the points that we touched on, and we're going to continue with that discussion this week, and also looking at it that Ramadan is the month of the Quran.
Yes, Mohan, I think there's so many aspects with regard to Ramadan. In fact, I was just also trying to try and see which aspects of Ramadan did I cover last, and of course we did cover the aspect of having a relationship with Allah. And what does it mean to have a relationship with Allah? We covered certain points that we need remembering Allah more than what Allah needs it. In fact, Allah doesn't need it at all. We need to remember Allah for our own benefit. Allah Ta'ala doesn't get greater or lesser by us remembering or not remembering Him. Allah Ta'ala will remain great, He will remain ma'bud, He will remain masjood, whether you make ibadah to Him or you don't make ibadah to Him. Whether you make sijda to Him, whether you don't make sijda to Him. But if you do it, you will benefit. Then we also said that in this particular aspect that we are the ones that benefit from it and we need it. And gave the several reasons why we need turning towards Almighty Allah. And turning towards Almighty Allah would depend upon, you know, our inclination. Would depend on our temperament. Some people would like zikr more, some would like tilawat more, some would like Quran more, some would like to whatever you feel comfortable, or at that particular time you feel like you want to do it, go ahead and do it. The objective is to, the way Allah in the Quran says, فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْصَبْ وَإِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ فَارْغَبْ, that when you have completed your task, then tire yourself in turning towards Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tire yourself in turning towards. We don't do this sufficiently. And I said also, if we don't remember Allah Ta'ala, there is a vacuum in our life. And that vacuum will not be filled by, you know, comfortable living. It's only going to be filled by ibadat and turning towards Almighty Allah. Ala bi dhikri Allahi tatma'innu al-qulub. In the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will hearts find contentment. Our hearts are not going to be contented, are not going to be fulfilled, are not going to be satisfied by us having a more better home or more better holiday or a better car or a more upgradable type of cell phone. No. There are certain things, you know, that spirituality, the void of our spiritual needs, cannot be filled by material things. It can only be filled by spirituality, only by turning towards Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we also spoke about the aspect of trying to keep away from one evil habit. Try and make it a point that, you know, one evil habit I'm going to stay away from. Maybe in a similar manner, you know, start off by also saying that I'm going to include one good quality. You see, there is this very important point that Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam has made mention, that the best deed, حَبُّ الْعَمَالِ إِلَى اللَّهِ أَدْوَمُهَا وَإِنْقَلْ, the most beloved deed in the eyes of Almighty Allah is that which, although little, it is done on a consistent and a regular basis. Now what we need to do is to take something and say that I'm going to do this, and I'm not going to, I'm always going to do this. I'm not going to stay away from it. I remember reading in the Sawaneh, and the life stories or the life conditions of Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, when someone asked him about, because Tasbih-e-Fatimi, 33 times Subhanallah, 33 times Alhamdulillah, 34 times Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, was given to Hazrat Fatima and Ali radiallahu ta'ala by our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to help you with your daily task. So he made mention of it to a student, and a student said, have you always been reading this? So he said, even on the eve of a battle, even on the eve of a battle, I did not leave it out. You know, I was one day reading, I can't remember, in the Al-Haq magazine that comes from Pakistan, which comes from the Darul Uloom Akora Khatak in Pakistan. They were writing about someone who had passed on, and about his halat, about his conditions. And in there I read that someone that, you know, there is this masnoon dua to read after Fajr and after Maghrib, Allahumma ajirni min an-nar 7 times. Very, very effective. That we must read it so that Allah Ta'ala can save us from the fire of Jahannam, inshallah. Now he said, this person was writing about this person's condition. He said, for 54 years he didn't leave it. And I just read, I said, subhanallah, 54 years he didn't leave it. Now, what is there that we can do that we will bring as part of our daily routine? Now, people must look into it and see that, listen, I'm going to do something that I'm not going to leave throughout my life, inshallah. It could be, for example, I'm not going to ever leave out Yasin after Fajr. Right, because Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam had spoken about the one who reads Yasin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make his whole day go well. And there are many other benefits. Hazrat Shaykhul Hadith Muhammad Zakariyasaf rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned it in Fazail Amal. Now, I'm never going to leave it, irrespective of wherever I am, even if I'm on a holiday, even if I am on a travel, I'm not going to leave Yasin after Fajr. Or, for example, 2 rakats of namaz, 2 rakats of salat before I leave the home. Or something after Maghrib, something before I sleep. But whatever it is, you make that a habit and you don't leave it, because habbul amali ilallahi adwamuha wa inqal. The most beloved deed in the eyes of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that which, although little, it is done on a consistent basis. So let us use Ramadan as a basis for that. I'm going to inculcate something and I'm going to continue with it every day. Now, if every Ramadan you bring in one aspect, can you imagine how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open up more doors of barakah and more days of amal for us? So these are some of the things that we can always talk. There's also the aspect of which I will go on to make mention, and that is, you know, we did say do a daily regiment. We do a daily routine. One of the things that is very important, do your basic things right. And when you get your daily regiment locked down, then you move on to the next step. So daily I'm going to do this much. If I've done this, then I move on to the next step. But daily, this is something that I'm not going to compromise on. I think it's something that is very important. Last week, someone did bring up the aspect that sometimes they don't feel enthusiastic, or there's a dip. And I made mention, in the spiritual sense, there is a situation known as qabz and bust, you know, and the Sahaba also experienced dip in their motivation at different times of their life. It is natural to have peaks and low points. So as long as your low point does not sacrifice the mandatory and the faraiz and does not make you indulge in haram. So there's going to get ups and downs in our spiritual state, but that should not deter us. And especially it should not deter us with regard to our faraiz, what we are supposed to do. Keep your daily regimen. Even if you don't feel certain times the motivation or the enthusiasm, sometimes they speak, you feel very, very well about it. Don't ever leave it out, even if you don't have the sufficient motivation and enthusiasm. Continue with it. Even if there is a little bit of a dip, you will find that if you continue, the dip will start moving upwards. It will take an upward curve and it will go to the peak.
SubhanAllah, I remember Malana mentioned was Dillagana Faraz Dillagna Faraz Nayevich. You have to make that effort and put your heart into it, but it doesn't.
You're learning, Malana. You're coming, you're very close to becoming my murid.
I remember this point very clearly, Maulana, making it when speaking about this qabr and pasat that sometimes that takes place. And Maulana, the preparation for the month of Ramadan is something that you know we are going to continue discussing. As you mentioned, there's so many aspects of it. It's an opportunity for a person to bring about some good change in his life, to leave out some sin, to leave out some evil. And towards the end of the program last week, we did make that challenge to people that you note something down that you want to leave out or that you want to take out of your life, some evil that a person is committing. And I know there was a few messages that had come through, but the program had ended. You can still, we always love to hear from you, so send through your messages, 0727861548. Ma, in terms of interaction, what would we expect from the listeners?
What do people feel in terms of what has suited or has done them well in terms of Ramadan? What are the things that have motivated? What are the things that keep you going in Ramadan? What are the things that you have found beneficial in Ramadan that you can share so that people can also benefit from it? Something that we you know, it's something that we can look at, and maybe by you making mention of it, it is something that you know, it's something very interesting. I think it's something that we should be looking at.
So send through those messages, 0727861548. Our engineer is also standing by to take your calls on 011-854-1548. Maulana, you can continue.
Yes, I think there are two aspects that I would perhaps like to do at. One is the aspect of building our ta'alluq with the Quran. There is no doubt whatsoever. It is the best way and the best time for us to build our relationship with the Holy Quran. شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن. The month of Ramadan is the month in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed the Holy Quran. And to be more specific, إنا أنزلناه في ليلة القدر. Allah ta'ala has revealed it in the night of Qadr and the night of power. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made mention now, if you want to build a relationship with Allah, then there is no better way than building a relationship by reading the speech and the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the kitab of Almighty Allah and the speech of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you want to speak to Allah, engage in salat. If you want to speak to Allah, engage in salat. If you want Allah to speak to you, read the Holy Quran, subhanallah. Someone has so beautifully said, if you want to speak to Allah, engage in salat. If you want Allah to speak to you, read the Holy Quran. Because there is a hadith in Tirmidhi that Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when you say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, then Allah ta'ala says, in reply to you, Alhamdu Hamadani Rabbi. You know, my bondsman has praised me. And every verse of Surah Fatiha, Allah Ta'ala replies. So this is like, in Salat, it is like a small token, an example of speaking to Allah Ta'ala. But when you want Allah to speak to you, then you read the Holy Quran, because there is a kalam of Almighty Allah, there is a speech of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there is no doubt that, you know, the Quran has got amazing wisdom and amazing sukoon, amazing tranquility, amazing reward. I mean, just to give it as an example, Maulana Umar Palanpuri, Rahmatullah Ali, used to say that normally you don't like to take the name of evil things. So you take Fir'aun. Fir'aun was a despot. He was an arrogant, oppressive ruler. Shaitan, we all know he is the epitome of disobedience. Right? So we don't like to unnecessarily take the name of evil things. But if you take it in the context of the Holy Quran, then you, for taking the name of Shaitan, you get 50 rewards. Because every letter, Allah Ta'ala multiplies it 50 times. So can you imagine, you take the name of Iblis, Alif, Ba, Lam, Wa, Ya. So read, when you take the name of Iblis while reading the Holy Quran, Allah gives you 50 rewards. Like that, you don't like to take the name of Iblis unnecessarily, right? But if you take, وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِعَادَمَ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسِ. So you take the word of Iblis while reading the Holy Quran. For reading Iblis, Allah gives you 50 rewards, subhanallah. What other aspects that you can do with regard to it? And before we go for the break, I must relate something very, very amazing. yesterday someone phoned me. He had other work. And then we started speaking about Ramadan. And then he made mention, he said, you know, he told me something very amazing. He said, we sometimes underestimate our community. We like to say our community does this wrong and that wrong and this and that. There are certain times also where our community have got an amazing type of some good things, some amazing things that are with our community. And he says that I've got a friend of mine, and he reads the Quran on a regular basis. And he's got one Quran in the masjid and one Quran at home, and he's got a specific bookmark which he keeps both in the masjid and in the house. Right? He must be making separate khatams in the Quran, in the masjid, and he told his family that, you see this bookmark, I continuously read throughout the year to be able to make khatam. If ever I pass away and my khatam is not made, then continue from where my bookmark is to complete my khatam. And he told his friend that, see, this particular Quran, I've kept it at this place in the masjid. I've got a bookmark, there's a specific bookmark. If I die and if I pass away and you see the bookmark that is on this place, then you go and you're going to complete the khatam of the Quran for me. Now, it's such an amazing thing. And the brother was telling me, he said he might not be looked upon as a very pious person, but he's got this amazing quality. And we do have this, you know, where our people read the Holy Quran. Now, we have different rights with regard to the Holy Quran. One of the things is we must try and understand the message of the Holy Quran. You don't have to be a mufassir or start taking out rules and laws and to change the laws. But what Allah is telling you about some of the more important things or the basic things or important guidelines, we must know what the Quran tells us. So when you are walking on the street and your eyes fall upon a strange person from the opposite gender, then you say, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغْضُضْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنَّ. That ayat must come in front of you. Allah tells the believing males and the females that put your gaze down. Don't go and continue staring and looking if something attracts you. Or don't continue staring at a strange man or woman. Put your gaze down. This is something that we are supposed to do. Then sometimes, whenever you want to make an expense which is wasteful, لا تسرفوا. Don't waste. When you are going to do something that has got no benefit and you're going to spend your money in it, إن المبذرين كانوا إخوان الشياطين. Those who are extravagant are the brothers of shaitan. Whenever you are in aspect with regard to your parents, وبالوالدين إحسانا. I must be good to my parents. Even if they tell me something which might hurt me, I must not say oof to them in disrespect. That ayat, إِمَّا يَبْلُغَنَّ عِنْدَكَ الْكِبَرَ أَحْدُهُمَا. At least basic things what Allah is telling us in the Quran, we must know. You don't have to be you don't have to create fitna or to make rules and masail from the Quran which are controversial, no. But what Allah is telling you, that much at least those ayats must come in your mind. And of course, this is the benefit with regard to it. I just gave you an example of how a person, subhanAllah, what an amazing quality of his ta'alluq with the Quran.
Yeah, the month of Ramadan is the month of the Quran, and we need to use this month to build a connection with the Quran, use this month to become a people of the Quran. Send through your messages. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, I will share those messages with Maulana and the listeners. The social program with Maulana Ibrahim Bahman. This week we are speaking about Ramadan being the month of the Quran. Use it as an opportunity, building our ta'alluq with the Quran, understanding the message of the Quran. Maulana, before we continue, one or two messages that have come through from the listeners. Earlier on, we spoke about consistency, that whatever action we are doing, even if it's a small action, then we should be consistent in doing it. Listeners sent a message here saying that there used to be a lady from her community, and they would read this dua every day. Fatira as-samawati wal-ard anta waliyyi fi dunya wal-akhirah tawaffani muslima wal-hiqni bis-salihin. And it was a practice to read this on a daily basis. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed her with a death in Medina Munawwara.
SubhanAllah. Very, very, very interesting. And of course, there is barakah in also speaking about the du'as and making du'a with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, calling out towards Almighty Allah with the du'as from the Holy Quran. The 40 Rabbanas that, you know, you get the kitab and you get those things is from the du'as from the Quran. We should try and read that. And I will also speak about that as we go along, inshallah.
And another listener saying that what they would use to motivate them during the month of Ramadan is at night, when they would have a bit of time, they would listen to the tafsir of the Quran in the evening. And as each day went past, they found that they were getting closer to the Quran. Alhamdulillah, this then helped them to read more and more Quran. They were able to make more khatams, whereas in the past, they wouldn't even finish the Quran. So just listening to the tafsir is what motivated them to start reading more Quran and learning about the Quran.
SubhanAllah. And I think that's a very important. See, let's also face it. We are weak. And I think one of the points that, which is so important, is sometimes, you read the Quran, you also make zikr, you read namaz. But sometimes we as human beings, we tend to tire, we are weak. So what do you keep yourself motivated with? So one of the things that you can keep yourself motivated, instead of maybe whiling away time with your social media and going into Facebook and looking at all the videos, etc., start seeing that someone who can, the tafsir of the Holy Quran, as the listener had said. So in that, what actually happens was that you start coming closer to the Holy Quran. And there are many tafsirs that come about in the different platforms, whether it be the media, whether it be on YouTube, whether it be on other things. And if anyone wants to, go there, and inshallah, you will get some benefit with regard to it.
We do have a caller on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And assalamu alaikum to Malana Baam as well. Malana, I'm actually just also phoning in with regards to experience. In fact, at one stage, Malana, I used to have migraine headaches every morning when I used to get up. But alhamdulillah, shukr of Allah's mercy, when I started reading my fajr, Allah granted that my headaches went away. And with Allah's mercy, alhamdulillah, I actually would advise for other people who are experiencing this to do in Ramadan and include tahajjud as well. And there we can make dua to Allah. As I said previously, also the dua in tahajjud is the greatest for us. And we ask Allah Ta'ala to make dua. We ask Allah Ta'ala in our dua for each and every ummati also. In Ramadan, we can include tahajjud as well. If those who are not reading tahajjud as yet, I don't want to play pious, but just like I'm speaking from experience, alhamdulillah, Allah has actually cured me a few times also through tahajjud, alhamdulillah.
JazakAllah so much. We appreciate it.
Inshallah,
means of
Continue to send through your messages, 072-786-1548. The lines are also open, 011-854-1548. We are speaking about preparation for the month of Ramadan, and more specifically, you know, the aspect of building the ta'alluq, the relationship with the Quran during the month of Ramadan. Malana, you can continue.
Yes, and I think we must perhaps, there is ways and means of some people saying must read so many pages after every namaz you will complete the khatam of the Holy Quran. There might be benefit in it, I'm not saying. But at the end of the day, you know, reading the Holy Quran must come from the heart. You must be able to see that, listen, I will benefit. Or when you are, you know, when you feel to tie yourself up to something, you know, maybe they might be benefited, but tie yourself, maybe take away the enthusiasm. Sometimes you might be sitting and you might be reading, and you said, I'm supposed to read half supara, and you start reading half and you enjoy yourself, you just carry on reading. So make it something that comes from the heart without, obliging yourself that I got to read so much after suhr, after asr. If it helps you in terms of completing, alhamdulillah. But sometimes let it come according to your enthusiasm. And I think it's important. You know, the one with regard to attempting to understand the Holy Quran, I must make it clear, we don't read with the intention of scoring arguments or taking masail. That is the work of the ulama. But to read, and I have learned from some authentic ulama, that they give you tafsir lessons, as the listener had said, by all means we should try and do that, because it makes us also closer to the Holy Quran and Allah Ta'ala. The message of the Quran enables us to distinguish right from wrong. It serves as a companion in solitude, a light in darkness. It guides us to happiness. It sustains us in misery. It is an ornament amongst friends and an armor against enemies. The Quran is this and much, much more. I can go on making mention with regard to the beauty of the Holy Quran, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the greatest aspect, Allah has given us the opportunity to, speak and to echo and to utter and to bring on our sinful tongue the actual speech and the kalam of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is such a great blessing that we will never ever be able to be sufficiently thankful to Allah ta'ala for this blessing.
Subhanallah. Let it be that this Ramadan we really build that ta'alluq, and we build that relationship with the Quran, that we're able to read more Quran, learn about it, and try and understand it. Another message that has come through saying that one thing that I have tried is reading the English Quran for my own understanding, just to know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, and we should treat each Ramadan as if it were your last Ramadan.
Yes, we did make mention of that point also. As part of the Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Sallu Salat Mawadda'in, read every Salat, that this is your last Salat. We can use that very same metaphor and that very same example in terms of the Ramadan also, inshallah. It's very amazing. I mean, the beauty of the Holy Quran. Jubair bin Mutim, radiallahu ta'ala, says, I heard the Messenger of Allah recite a tour in the Maghrib prayers. And he came to one verse. أم خلقنا الملائكة no that particular أم خلقوا من غير شيء أم هم الخالقون أم خلقوا السماوات والأرض it was as if my heart wanted to fly from my body out of awe. Were they created by nothing, or were they themselves the creators? Did they create the heavens and earth? No, but they have no firm belief. Or are with them the treasures of your Lord? Or are they tyrants with the authority to do as they like? They said, I heard Nabi Karim Sallallahu read it in Surah. He had come to Medina to ransom someone after the Battle of Badr. When he heard this, he said, my whole attitude, my whole heart changed towards Iman. Usman ibn Affan radiallahu ta'ala used to say, if our hearts were truly pure, we would never ever get enough of the tilawat of the Holy Quran. And I hate that day which passes without me not looking in the Mus'haf. I hate that day that passes that I have not looked in the Holy Quran to read from the Holy Quran and the Kalam of Almighty Allah. This appears in the book Al-Bidayah wa Nihayah. Ibn Abi Mulaika narrated, Ikrama bin Abi Jahl. Now he was a son of Abu Jahl, the arch enemy of Islam, and now beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, used to press the Mus'haf to his face, used to press the copy of the Quran to his face and crying, saying, this is the book of my Lord, this is the words of my Lord. And he used to cry when saying that. So not only used to read afterwards out of utmost reverence and respect, he used to take the copy of the Quran, place it upon his face, and cry and say, this is the kalam of Almighty Allah. This is the kitab of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the beauty of the Holy Quran. So listeners, let us see that how we can come closer to the words and the kalam of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the month of Ramadan. There's another beautiful saying that every verse of the Holy Quran is like a date. The more you chew it, the more of its sweetness is released. Because dates are like that, that when you start eating a date, then as you chew it, the sweetness comes out. In a similar manner, the kalam of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is like the sweetness of a date. The more you chew, the more the sweetness comes up.
Subhanallah. Really an opportunity for us that we should read more Quran and appreciate the Quran, build that relationship, become people of the Quran, and not only just reading but practicing on the Quran as well. And let us start off immediately and use the month of Ramadan as a stepping stone to building that taluk with the Quran. Another message that has come through here, Maulana, from one of the listeners saying that I just want to share this with the listeners. It seems to me that my heart actually is physically restless if I don't read the Quran. I have to read a bit of Quran every day in order to find some peace in my heart, alhamdulillah.
MashaAllah, Allah Ta'ala give you the reward with regard to it, and Allah Ta'ala give you more barakah and blessing. And so JazakAllah for sending it to us, because there is no doubt whatsoever that this is one of the great aspects. And of course, traditionally, we find that people have taken out time to read Quran. I'm not sure, has it continued? Has it seen a decline? Because today there are so many other attractions that take us away. But whatever it is, let us see that we do take our time. And sometimes you have to start make that sacrifice and say, listen to yourself, that I'm going to take away all the distractions, all the attractions that normally steal away my time. I'm going to put it away one side. I'm going to sit in one corner, and I'm going to take out that time. That is going to be my me time. Me time, not in terms of yourself, but me time in you relating and coming closer towards Almighty Allah. Make a conscious decision. Make a conscious taking out time to say that this time I'm going to do this. And I'm not going to be attracted or distracted. And I'm going to keep all those other distractions away. And this time I'm only going to do this. Mm. And you see, inshallah, there will be such a benefit. In fact, you will want to increase that time as you start seeing the sweetness and the joy that you will experience in doing so. Make it a conscious effort that you are going to do that.
Mm. We do have another caller on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Maulana, I can vouch for it. We lost my boy at 103. Her eyesight was excellent, and that was due to her reading Quran every day. Towards the end, she'd just take even a page or two, and she'd read maybe a line or two, but that was an antidote. And really, the love for every believer, I truly believe, is the Quran. Because Allah Ta'ala is readily in our hearts. Allah Ta'ala removes our sins, and naturally the love of Allah beams through this very book of His, and that is the Quran. Maulana, I wish you and everybody else a very, very hearty Ramadan, a blessed Ramadan, and please do remember myself and everybody else in your pious duas. Assalamu alaikum.
Jazakumullah for that wonderful call. And let me say that one of the ulama have written that there are various ways of getting your duas accepted. And the ulama have written one of the ways of getting our duas accepted is by making dua for someone else. In fact, one of the phrases to read, to make your dua get accepted, is to make dua for the ummah and make dua for the person in his absence, because that becomes the means of the acceptance. In fact, that when you make a dua for someone in his absence, the angels say ameen to that dua. So let us build it. In fact, one of the aspects, they say, read Allahumma arham ummata Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allahumma ahdi ummata Sayyidina Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then add your own duas. When you make dua for the ummah, Allah accepts that, and it's very unlikely from Allah that in within one dua, Allah will accept one portion of the dua and won't accept the other portion. That is why we are supposed to read our duas within Darud Sharif, because Darud Sharif is always accepted. So it's unlikely that Allah will accept Darud in one aspect and accept the durood and not accept the dua that are made between the durood. And maybe the next point, Maulana, I don't know if there's any other messages or thing calls or something like that, then we can go to the next item and we can go look at the other one.
Ma, there's just one or two messages. I'll just share it with you. There's just one or two people that would want advice. Perhaps Maulana could help. They speak about, you know, Ramadan being the month of the Quran, and they really want to make a khatam, and we've been told that we should try to make a khatam of the Quran during the month of Ramadan. And they want to know that if they're not done with a khatam, should they start a new one and at the same time complete the other one? How should they go about that during the month of Ramadan?
My own stuff, I mean, there is a hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the best reading of the Quran is Al-Hal wal-Murtahil. The moment you finish one, you start with the other one. That is why we find that it is a masnoon method of ending a khatam of the Quran. You don't end at Qul A'udhu bi Rabbin Nas. After Qul A'udhu bi Rabbin Nas, you start off the other one till Muflihun, Alif Lam Dal. The reason is we show our enthusiasm after finishing one khatam to complete the next khatam. Right? So if we have come, say, for example, 13, 14, you must continue with it. You don't have to start off another khatam. You continue with it, but you make a note that I have completed till here, and you try to see to it that at least one khatam you read, if not more. So you'll know that, see, I've started off at 13. The next time when I come to my round, I come to 13. That means I've done a complete khatam. And then, of course, why should you miss the opportunity? Because, you know, there's been kitabs written on the benefit of making dua at the khatam. That, you know, there's so many angels make ameen to your dua at the time of khatam. Now, if you have come till 20, or you have come till 19, 18, 19, go and complete that. So you get an opportunity to make the khatam instead of starting all over again, which gives you a greater amount of time to make the khatam. So if you have done 13, 14, or 18, 19, complete that khatam and make the dua. Now you've got an opportunity to make the dua in Ramadan. So there will be added blessings. So go and do that, finish, and then inshallah add another khatam and do the entire khatam also in Ramadan. But keep a note with regard to it. And my mashura would be to continue with the khatam rather than starting it all over again.
Jazakumullah for that. Maulana, you can move on. I think Ma wanted to speak about dua as well during the month of Ramadan.
Yes, Maulana, there's a great relationship between Ramadan and dua. Now, if you look at the Holy Quran, شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان فمن شهد منكم الشهر فليصوم ومن كان مريضا أو على سفر فعدة من أيام أخر يريد الله بكم اليسر ولا يريد بكم العسر ولتكملوا العدة ولتكبروا الله على ما هداكم ولعلكم تشكرون. If you look at all of those things, you will find that after making mention of the farziyat of fasting, the blessedness of Ramadan, immediately after that, there is a ayat with regard to dua. وَإِذَا سَعَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. That when my bondsmen ask of you about me, then tell them I am very close. The Sahaba came to Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So this ayat appears immediately after the description of aspects pertaining to Ramadan. And the Sahaba came to Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and they said, Ya Rasulullah, is Allah Ta'ala far from us that we must shout loudly and make dua loudly? Or is Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala close to us that when we make dua to Almighty Allah, we must whisper? So Allah Ta'ala revealed this ayat, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي أَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. When my bondsmen are close, they ask you about me, O Prophet, then tell them I am very close to them. I am more closer to them than their own self. I am more closer to them than Hablil Warid. Now, what Hablil Warid has got different. Hablil Warid in Surah Qaf has got different meanings. First, we used to say jugular vein. Now, some people, they translate it as the carotid arteries. The carotid arteries is the artery that goes from the brain to the heart, the most important artery of the body. It is like that. It is more closer to you than your carotid arteries or your jugular vein. You know, so it's important for us to realize that Allah is close to us. We need to turn towards Almighty Allah. We don't make sufficient dua. And we sometimes feel that we don't need to make dua. By dua we make to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for big and small. Nothing is big for the one whom we are asking. Go and ask Allah for everything, man. No matter what you have to go and ask Allah Ta'ala for everything. Go and ask Allah. Even you want to ask something that you feel that is impossible to achieve, go and ask Allah. Nothing is difficult for Allah. And ask for something small because nothing is small for us. Nothing is big for Allah, nothing is small for us. And that is why Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, even if your shoelaces break, go and ask Allah before you go and tie your shoelaces. Or before you fix your shoelaces. Because if Allah Ta'ala takes away the power of something, what will we be able to do? If Allah Ta'ala takes away, I read somewhere that one of the very wealthy people, I think it was about the Harry Ford or someone like that, that towards the end of his life, the muscles with regard to his eyes, they failed him. Right? So that means he couldn't keep his eyes open because the muscles collapsed. Now the muscles are that keeps your eyes open and closed. That muscle collapsed. So he used to keep a small piece of stick, a twig, in his eyes to keep his eyes open. Ya Allah, can you imagine? Just a small thing like that, one small muscle fails you, what's going to happen to your situation? If Allah Ta'ala takes away the aspect of you going not able to relieve yourself, what happens? Therefore, when we come out of the after relieving ourselves, غُفْرَانَكَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي أَذْهَبَ أَنِّي الْعَذَى وَعَافَانِي. Glory be to you, O Almighty Allah, that you have allowed us to remove those aspects of our body that are supposed to be removed. If nothing is small, learn to make dua to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Turn towards Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us dua with the most beautiful words. Look at the dua that he read at the time of Arafah. Allahumma innaka tasma'u kalami wa tara makani la yakhfa alayka shay'un min amri. Ana al-ba'isu al-faqiru al-mustaghith. Ya Allah, what a beautiful dua. What a heart-rendering dua. So if Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could make that dua, then where are we with regard to it? Take out time to make dua and look at the time because there is so much of aspects of dua that is attached to Ramadan. One is the ayat of dua comes immediately after the ayats which are pertaining to Ramadan. Right? Then Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that dua of the fasting one is accepted. So there is a dua at the time of fasting that will definitely be accepted by Allah. So the time of iftar, don't worry about the samosas only at hand. Alhamdulillah. That is also good, alhamdulillah. ذَهَبَ الزَّمَأُ وَابْتَلَّتِ الْعُرُوقِ وَثَبَتَ الْعَمْرِ وَثَبَتَ الْأَجَرِ إِنْشَاءَ اللَّهِ. What a beautiful dua this is. ذَهَبَ الزَّمَأُ وَابْتَلَّتِ الْعُرُوقِ وَثَبَتَ الْأَجَرِ إِنْشَاءَ اللَّهِ. At the time of when you just take one sip of your, you know, something of your kajur and your water, you know, you read this. Yeah, you read this dua. Oh Allah. The hunger has been somewhat satiated. The thirst had been quenched. And oh Allah, now establish the reward of fasting. Subhanallah. So, you know, make this dua. Ya wasi al-fadli akhfirli. Just before breaking your fast. Or whatever is there, you go and keep and go and make fast. And I think maybe I will conclude here. I don't know what if there is anything before we conclude one another.
No, Ma, you can continue.
You know, one of our great scholars, was a very amazing person. You know, his oratory level was at another level. Hazrat Maulana Ataullah Shah Bukhari Rahmatullah Ali. You know, amazing level of in terms of his oratory level. So, Maulana Ataullah one day in his bayan gave this beautiful example. He spoke about the greatness of our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And he said, "Maine ek haseen dekha, jo haseenon mein ahsan nazar aaya, chameelon mein ajmal nazar aaya, kareemon mein akram nazar aaya. I saw a person who was most beautiful, graceful, elegant, more than anyone else in the universe." Speaking about our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, went on to make mention of many of his qualities. The one whom Allah Ta'ala took an oath on his body. And Allah Ta'ala took an oath on his speech, waqilihi. Took an oath on the city in which he resided. Took an oath with regard to various aspects of his life. And he who, when Allah Ta'ala says, مَا أَتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُ. When he says yes to something, it becomes halal. When he says no to something, it becomes haram as a representative of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of that, he makes mention with regard to it. He said, when I looked at his qualities, I felt that if I have a challenge, If I have a difficulty, if I have an issue, if I have a matter, I'm going to ask this great human being to assist me. So he said, through the means of his biography, I went to go and knock at his door. I went to go and knock at his door that maybe I'm going to ask him to assist me. And then I saw this greatness of Allah's creation, this great human being. He was crying and asking someone else to help him and assist him for his needs. And among the du'as he was making into Azimhum Fahinnahum Ibaduk, oh Allah, if you were to punish my ummatis, then they are your bondsmen, they are your slaves, they are your servants, you can punish them if you want. But if you forgive them, you have the capacity and you have the power and you have the authority also if you want, you can forgive them. He said, when I saw this great human being asking someone else, he said, my mind made a call, made a decision. Don't go to such great human beings for assistance. Go to that Allah where even such great human beings go and ask assistance from. When our Nabi used to cry in front of Allah in such a way, then who are you and I that we can't cry in front of Allah for our needs?
Let us use this month of Ramadan to build a ta'luk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, build a ta'luk with the Quran and really appreciate the month of Ramadan. Malana, jazakumullah khairan so much for joining us this week on the social program, and Malana will be back on the program next week inshallah during the month of Ramadan.
Inshallah.
As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That brings us to the end of the program this week. For those that would like to hear a recording of it, the podcast will be available on our social media pages later on, inshallah. Until next time, as-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.